on the Constitution recommended that the Constitution be changed to allow for civil marriage for same-sex couples. The Taoiseach, Eamon Gilmore, has said a referendum on same-sex marriage will be held in the lifetime of this government. Strong speculation in recent days that it will be held next year. The Taoiseach said yesterday the Cabinet is due to decide by next week its response to the Constitutional Convention's recommendation. I'm joined from Waterford by Ciara Conway, Labour Party TD, and also here in Dublin by David Quinn, director and founder of the Iona Institute, which is a pro-marriage, a pro-family organisation. He's also a columnist with the Irish Independent and the Irish Catholic. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Ciara Conway, first of all, are you confident there will be a decision by government to hold the referendum, to hold it next year, and that it will be carried?
I am confident. As a member of the Constitutional Convention, you know, overwhelmingly we saw in that forum that 79% of people voted to change the Constitution to provide for civil marriage for same-sex couples. And up to 81% of the people who participated voted for the state to enact laws incorporating necessary changes and amendments in regard particularly to the parenting, guardianship and, you know, the upbringing of children in lesbian and gay families. I believe that, the government has 4 months to respond to the report from the Constitutional Convention, and I am hopeful that we will have a referendum in the lifetime of this government.
Most of the opponents of same-sex marriage point to the effects on children as being their main objection to going ahead with this. Do you see any downside to same-sex marriage?
No, I mean, like, there has been a broad amount of research done on this, and most recently Cambridge University, just of March of this year, published some research to show that children who are adopted by male gay couples are just as happy and as likely to thrive as those in traditional heterosexual families. And from my own point of view, as a former social worker who worked with children and with families, and, you know, modern families are very diverse and are made up in very different ways, that I believe children are very resilient and can thrive once they're, you know, surrounded by love and support, regardless of the sexuality of their parents.
David Quinn, opinion polls have shown in recent times support for marriage equality, for same-sex marriage. There's clearly strong support for it in that constitutional convention. Do you think it's going to go through?
Well, I mean, it has a good chance of going through, but as we know from opinion polls, particularly ahead of social issues, referendums, they can often be highly misleading and the vote can turn out very differently on the day. There's only been one vote in Europe on this. It was in Slovenia. I think it was last year. It was 20 points ahead. That is, the same-sex marriage proposition was 20 points ahead with days to go and lost by 10 points on the day. Because when people actually begin to hear the arguments properly, their minds begin to change quickly. And I mean, Keir has actually cut basically straight to the chase here. This is really a debate about whether we attach particular value to a child having a loving mother and father or not. Now, I stress a loving mother and father because obviously there's abuse of parents. But what actually is our vision of family? What is our vision of parenthood? What do we think, all things being equal, is best for children? Do we think still, as a society, that it is best on average for the children to be raised by a mother and father who love them? The alternative vision says what a child needs is loving parents, and that could be two men or two women. Now, do we as a society really believe that having two men raising you, however loving, is just the same as having a loving mother and father raising you? And what marriage in its present constitutional form, and in fact throughout history, has embodied are several facts. That men and women are different from each other. That mothers and fathers are different from each other and complementary. That the natural tie between a child and his biological parent matters. And that the sexual union of a man and a woman is unique and different in kind. And it's not discrimination to treat something unique in a unique way, and that's what marriage does.
Ciara Conway, what's your response to that?
Well, you see, I just don't see that heterosexual marriages or couples are threatened in any way by, you know, providing for a same-sex marriage. You know, like, even currently under the Constitution, the only family that is recognised is that of the married family. So it even places people like myself outside of that as a lone parent, as a single parent family. That's not recognised under the Constitution. And there are, you know, I just don't believe that it has any inference on heterosexual couples and marriages. And I don't believe, you know, we've seen now same-sex marriage introduced in, you know, in over 15 countries in the last 12 months. And I don't believe that, you know, traditional marriage, if you want to call it that, you know, has been anyway diminished or impeded by the introduction of what were just simply is marriage equality. Because I believe that, you know, that heterosexual couples want their LGBT peers to have the same standing and the same marriage equality as they do have currently.
Okay, well, I mean, that sounds very winsome. But I mean, honestly, I mean, you know, in this kind of brave new world, you are going to have an increasing number of children being brought into the world deliberately to have neither a mother or a father. I mean, my marriage obviously is not going to be directly affected if, let's say, my gay neighbours were allowed to get married. But if you have a situation where a same-sex couple has an equal right to have a child, society is saying children no longer have a right, even in principle, even in theory, to have a mother and a father. You can deliberately deprive a child of either a mother or a father, as the case may be. So you have a growing number of, let's say, Elton John's partner type situations where you use egg donors, surrogates, sperm donors, as the case may be. And like we know from adoption that children frequently go looking for their natural parents. Now, I'm obviously not anti-adoption, but what I am against is basically before a child is ever conceived, deciding this child is either going to be deprived of a mother or a father and will have the natural tie deliberately broken to one of those parents.
But David, the point is, an awful lot of gay couples are already taking those steps themselves, and there's no legal or constitutional framework to give them the support and recognition that they want.
Well, I mean, there's two things to be said there. I mean, number one is we clearly need to regulate the entire IVF industry, not just in respect to gay couples, but across the board. We haven't had a proper debate really yet about what do we
but
think of surrogate
motherhood. But that's only part of the method that's being used.
Yeah,
they
precisely.
Can get friends to conceive or to do what's necessary to have a child. And you don't need to go near any industry.
But it still needs to be regulated because, I mean, if we just stand back and we say, OK, we're going to let all this happen, we are actually saying we don't care how children are brought into the world. We don't care that children have been brought into the world deliberately to have no mother or no father, as the case may be. I mean, we've had all these debates about children's rights. We keep talking about the child's best interests, and yet we are willing to attack the natural tie, and we are willing to take away either a mother or a father from a child, as the case may be. Now, I don't see how that is pro-child. And if you change the definition of marriage, you are putting the tin hat on this entire process.
So just on that point, in relation to children and children's rights, all the, you know, four front runners in both nationally and internationally, UNICEF, the Children's Rights Alliance, the Ombudsman for Children, Bernardo's, the Irish Association of Social Workers, all agree that the children of gay couples should be given the same rights as the children of couples of the opposite sex.
They can't have the same right of desire a mother or a father deliberately missing. I mean, clearly
they
they're
can
not
if marriage
equally.
Is equal. They can if marriage is equal.
No, they cannot be, because it's either a mother or a father missing, and the natural tie to one of the natural parents has been deliberately broken. Look, in Britain now we have a situation where a birth cert can have two mothers been put on it, okay? Clearly two women cannot be the birth parents of the one child. Only one of them can be. So deliberately now, we are falsifying with the sanction of the state birth certs in places like Britain. Because
in your opinion, but
I would say
that, you know, children currently with same-sex parents are as deserving of equality and
saying,
a freedom from discrimination
saying,
as those who are not.
Just let her finish, if you would, David, please.
You know, just to say, sorry, I'm not in studio there, so apologies for cutting across you. But that children currently who are with same-sex parents, I believe, are as deserving of equality and freedom from discrimination as those who are not. So, I mean, it's your belief that that's somehow doctoring it. But
Can I just finish the point, David?
Thank you.
You interrupted
but
me.
Currently, the position is that we have children who are living with same-sex parents, and they are in a legal limbo. And I would agree with you as well in relation to IVF and surrogacy, that we are bereft of legislation in this area, and that this is something that we do need to look at and examine, because we see time and time again families going to court for direction because the legislation is lacking.
I mean, look, I mean, Ciara basically does not, in fact, believe that there's any added value to a child in having a loving mother and father. I
mean, well, no, hold on. Let's stop and ask, yeah. Ciara, is that your position?
No, absolutely. That's not my position. But my position is, like, I mean, I don't see why having a mother and a father, you know, is somehow diminished or lessened.
Because lots of children won't have them in your world.
By having two mothers who love them or two fathers who love them. Or in my case, where my daughter has a loving mother.
You haven't answered the question.
I have.
No, you have not answered the question.
I haven't answered it the way you want me to answer it.
Well, no, indeed you haven't. All things being equal, is it best for a child to have to be raised by their own loving mother and father? Or do you think that is not a worthy goal to social policy? Because clearly if you think it's just the same to be raised by two men or two women, you do not attach special value to having a loving mother and father.
It's not about special value. Like, I mean, I see,
but of course it is.
No, it's not, because I believe that they're equal.
The answer is no.
I believe that they're equal. I don't believe, I'm not saying,
Ciara,
that,
why is it?
That
why
a mum
is it?
And a father are any less loving of two men or two women. That's to distort my argument, David.
Yeah, but no, so basically you don't believe it is any special value over and above in having a mother and a father. And by the way, Ciara, like, you are in favour of gender quotas in politics. I've read your contributions to the Dáil debates. So you think that politics needs the contribution of both men and women, but you don't think that children need the contribution of both men and women.
But
I find that fascinating.
But, you know, Irish families are not just about, you know, the parents in their home. We're often raised by extended family. So, like, David, to say that a child would be raised by two men would have no influence or contact with women in their lives is just, you know,
well,
to be very disengenuous.
Yeah, well,
you know,
yeah, well, that's
like,
just hear out if you would, please. Yeah,
You know, that's not like with like. I mean, absolutely, I believe in gender quotas, and as you rightly say, my opinion is on the record of the House, because we're in the very unusual or maybe not unusual circumstance that we've so few women in national politics. But that does nothing to do with sexuality in relation to gender.
It has to do with the sex of the parents. And again, you think the sexual complementarity in politics is important, but you don't think it's important when it comes to children and their raising and upbringing. And I just find that fascinating.
Though, David Quinn, that people are doing what they do and doing what they have done and are increasingly doing. And it's a question, through this measure, of giving recognition and support and assurances to people who do that.
You don't have to redefine marriage in order to do this. I mean, children have been raised in all kinds of different combinations, okay? A much more common situation than a child being raised by, say, a lesbian couple is when the child is raised by a lone parent and that parent's mother. So that is to say, by the mother and grandmother. There's about 19,000 children, whereas in that situation, compared with 200 or 300 being raised by lesbian couples. Now, nobody is going to say we redefine marriage in order to accommodate the children been raised by their mothers and grandmothers. You can change guardianship laws and certain rights and obligations around that. There is no need to redefine marriage in order to take account of these situations. But once you redefine marriage, you are saying, as a society, we no longer need a social institution that grows out of the differences between the sexes, out of the fact that the sexual union of a man and a woman is unique and kind, out of the fact that the natural tie is worth preserving, and out of the fact that actually it is best for the child to have a loving mother and father.
Ciara Conway?
Yeah, I just goes back to my point that I believe that, you know, that both of that marriage equality, you know, doesn't have to, it is just that, it's equal. I don't believe that, you know, heterosexual couples will be anyway
children
diminished.
Will be,
okay, let's just hear Ciara Conway, just for balance reasons, apart from anything else, David Quinn.
I don't believe that that they will. I believe that the best interests of children are served when they have parents who love them, regardless of their sexuality.
Okay.
You and I don't agree on that, David, but that's what I believe. It's not just what I believe, but also I know that there is research, as I said, as recently as March of 2013, stating that, you know, children who are raised by adoptive gay couples are as happy and as thrive as much as any other.
If I can address the research, I mean, the research you're talking about, Ciara, there consists almost invariably of maybe 30 or 40 children. This is like basing an opinion poll on how people are going to vote on 30 or 40 people, and almost never randomly chosen, by the way. That research is barely worth the paper it's written on. There was, by the way, recently a vast Canadian study based on 20% of the population that had a look at a sample of gay and lesbian parents consisting of hundreds, not dozens, and it found that children raised by gay and lesbian couples were considerably less likely to graduate from high school than children raised by their biological married parents. So again, this is a debate about what's best for children. And it may well be the case that children have been raised in diverse situations, but as a society, we still need to say, is there an ideal? Is there a benefit in having as many children as possible being raised by their own two biological parents?
Ciara Conway, last word to you.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, in the society we live in, that's not always possible, that that biological children are raised by their but I don't believe that diminishes or impedes their development in any way. Look, the message is simple in relation to this whole debate. From my point of view, is that, you know, we're looking for marriage equality, and I believe that, you know, the introduction of same-sex marriage will just do that. It will put it on an equal footing, and it will give children equal rights, because
it will
currently
diminish children's rights.
Because they are currently without those rights because of a lack of legislation. And I, for one, will be pressing and hoping that this referendum will be held in the lifetime of the government, and will be absolutely advocating for a yes vote.
Ciara Conway, David Quinn, thank you both for joining us.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.